Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. We just recited this prayer just a few moments ago that comes from this passage out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus saying to the crowd, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the third week into a five-week series, Pray Like Jesus. And as I have said the earlier weeks, this prayer is recorded twice in the Gospels, once here in Matthew chapter 6, and the setting is a public setting, and there have been some people praying to kind of impress people, and the church leaders, you know, this big, fancy, authoritative prayer, and Jesus is more or less rebuking them for praying for all the wrong reasons, and so he teaches them how to pray. Now, there's also a passage in of the Lord's Prayer, slightly different, in Luke chapter 11. And in that gospel, he is responding to a request by one of the 12 to teach us how to pray. And so we're looking at this very slowly and very methodically, and we are in week 3. This week, God is into the details. God is into the details. Now, the first two sermons. The first one we dealt with this the first line, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," and we talked about how Jesus is telling us to pray to God as this personal heavenly Father. That was new stuff, cutting edge stuff, when he taught them to pray like that, because God had always been this big figure that was the God of the nation, but Jesus was saying, no, he's personal. And his name, not only he alone, but even his name is holy. If you, and I encourage you to go back and either through our DVD rack out in the foyer or through the website to go and listen to these sermons, not because I'm really impressive, but because God wants to speak to us. Did you know God wants to speak to you? Believe with all my heart, he's teaching us. In the second week, last week, we talked about this line in the verse that says, "Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That this how in heaven we have this perfect kingdom where everything's just as God would have it to be. And we someday have that to look forward to, but Jesus is saying, pray that happens here, now, right here, and it starts right here in our heart. This week, God is into the details. So while God is this personal God and his name is to be is holy and to be hallowed and how his will is to be done, we start out the prayer in that way, but then in verse 11, he gets personal. He personalizes it. Give us today. Suddenly the focus turns off of God, who he is and what he is in our lives, and suddenly it turns the focus onto us. Give us today our daily bread. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've recited that prayer over the years as growing up in the church, I think about that, and when I recite that line, all that really has come to mind over the years is God wants us to be well fed. God wants us to have something to eat. Am I the only one? Come on now. You know, those little chocolate, Little Debbie's. I like the Little Debbie's Swiss cakes. That's some of my favorites. You know, I guess he could have said, give us this day our Little Debbie Swiss cakes. But he says, give us today our daily bread. Is he just talking about physical nourishment? Is that all he's talking about there? Is that all we're to ask the Lord to provide? Is just give us some, make sure we're well fed and got something to eat? Is that all he's talking about? I don't believe it is. It means more than just providing for our physical, nutritional needs. God is interested in every need that you have. Hello. Every need that you have. Jesus is saying he's the provider of your every need. Not just our physical nourishment. If you need it, and it's important to you, God is the provider, and he is interested. He's into those details of your life. And we must trust every detail of our life to him. Every detail. And we must trust that God knows best. Somehow we get this idea that God is the great Santa Claus in the sky, don't we? We sit on his knee and we tell him what we want and he provides. I can remember as a little boy, I think I may have shared this a few years ago if you were here, but I think it started really about, I was about 5 or 6, and I've never owned one to this day. I've always loved horses. I just loved horses. They're beautiful animals, and I think I'd have made a good cowboy. Let's face it. Yeah, I need to borrow Bubba's spurs, and we'd be set. But I always wanted a horse, and it started from a very young age. And I can remember every Christmas, and every birthday. Guess what was on the top of my list to Mom and Dad? I'm not kidding you. They might have kept some of those lists, but I'd say what Jeff wants for Christmas, number one, a horse. I can remember making the lists. Number two, a new bike. You know, I'd go on down and I'd have something else on there because I figured out after a few years I wasn't getting the horse. We lived over on South 6th Street, and our backyard was, you know, not very big. And I remember Mom and Dad, you know, they loved me. They wanted me to be happy. They wanted me to have joy in life, but they would sit me down and they would see that list and they would say, Jeff, you know we can't get a horse. We would love for you to have a horse, but we don't have a place to put a horse. And I would launch into the ways we could work it out. I can build a pen. I can, and it won't take, and I'll get a shovel. And you know what that'd be for. And I'll take care, I'll feed him. And right here in the corner, we've got a big, it's enough room back there, we can do it. Well, Jeff, but the city won't let us. But we can talk to the city. I mean, I had a reason for everything. But my parents loved me. They wanted the best for me, but I never got a horse. Can you imagine that?
I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to get some sympathy around this place. Yeah, I can tell you're really sorry, Alan. Okay, what is Jesus trying to teach us? Give us this day, Father, our daily bread. I believe, number one, he is teaching us that God is indeed engaged in your personal needs. He cares. You know, I know, and if they were here, I'd ask them and I'd let them tell you. But I know my mom and dad wanted me to have a horse. But they knew that just wasn't in the plans. But they loved me, and it broke their heart that they couldn't give me a horse. They knew that it just wasn't going to work out. And God isn't always going to give us the answers to our prayers just the way we want them. But I want to tell you for absolutely sure, He cares. He's engaged. Listen to this another passage from Jesus in Matthew 11, and He says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Does that sound like a God that's disengaged from where we are, what burdens we have that we're carrying around? Come to me, not some of you, not the lucky ones, not the ones that I feel like answering. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is engaged. He cares about our everyday needs. Second thing I believe He's teaching us: God is teaching us that His ultimate provision is Jesus Christ. You know, I may have thought my biggest need in the world was a little pony. But I can tell you the one gift my parents did share with me, His name is Jesus. Alan, I never got a pony, but they gave me Jesus. And I want to tell you, at the time, I would have traded, a five-year-old to trade Jesus for a pony every day. let's face it. And Jesus, yes, amen. But they gave me Jesus. And He has seen me through my life so far, and He will see me the rest of the way. And I don't know what you think about your preacher, but I don't know if you think that I've just sailed through life and everything's been come real easy. I've had trials just like most of us. I need Jesus every day. I need Him every day. What a gift He is. Now, so Jesus is teaching us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." But listen to this other passage that's just a few verses down in verse 27 of the same chapter. This is in the Gospel of John, but in the same chapter, chapter 6, He says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." Hello. Give us today our daily bread, and then Jesus declares, "But guess what? I'm your daily bread. I'm what you need. Even more than that Little Debbie Swiss cupcake. Our provision is a He. It's not a what, it's a He. He is the bread of life. He is our daily bread. Third thing He's teaching us: our need never exceeds God's provision. And God's provision is Jesus Christ. Our need never exceeds what Jesus can provide. Do we hear that? How many of you in the room have lived that, have seen it in your life? Raise your hand. If you've seen that God meets every need through Jesus Christ, every need, devastating loss, devastating circumstances, He will never fail us. He will never leave us. And He says, in this same passage of John, he says, he who comes to me, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Is he talking about nutrition? No. He's talking about everything. He will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. He tells the woman at the well, she's talking about this physical well and this physical water that she thinks Jesus is talking about, and he says, I'm the living water. You drink this water, you'll never be thirsty. Give us today our daily bread. Our need never exceeds God's provision. The fourth thing, here's how God does it. Listen closely. God meets our need through brokenness, weakness, and surrender. That's contrary to everything that we learn from the time we're a wee little man or a wee little woman. We're taught, try harder, suck it up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We're taught to bear down. Jesus says, no, be weak. Allow yourself to be broken before me. And that's part of what some of you did just a little while ago when you stood up. It may have seemed to some that you just stood up. But what you did is you came to God in asking for His provision through brokenness, through weakness, and through surrender. That's how we do it. It's not through strength. It's not praying harder. It's not reading our Bible more. It's not coming to church more often, although those things are very important. That's not how our needs are met. Our needs are met on our knees before the cross. Broken. Nowhere else to turn. Nowhere else to turn. Listen to the Apostle Paul, and I love this story out of 2 Corinthians. I've shared this recently with several people because I believe it's so relevant to where we all live. The Apostle Paul, he has this vision, and in this vision, he has this thorn in the flesh. And it's, I don't believe it's a figurative, literal thorn in the flesh. I believe he's referring to some kind of struggle in his life. And it says that three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. Can you hear the desperation in Paul? He's got this struggle in his life and he's pleading, Lord, please take this struggle from me. Isn't that what we do when we're struggling, when we have something going on in our lives? We plead for it to go away. But here was the Lord's response. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, we pray for these struggles to go away when that's the exact time that God is molding us into the man or the woman He's called us to be. And I'm not saying that we run around seeing if we can drum up tragedy in our lives so that God can really do a good job with us, but it comes, doesn't it? Struggles and trials come. And when they come, we have to understand that God is at work in the midst of that. He is our daily bread. We have to rely on Him for everything that's going on in our lives. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul got it. It's those struggles that God uses to mold us. I don't know about you, but I look back at my life and I look back at the ways God has shaped me into a better man. And it was, without question, it was always through trials. every time. When I have grown more into his likeness through my life, it's been each time it's been through trial. Most of them not very fun. I remember when my girls were little and they, you know how most kids get to that age where they, I can do it myself. Has anybody else's kids ever said that? And I can remember so many times with the girls that I can do it myself, Daddy. And if it was safe, you know, Cheryl and I would, we'd just kind of go, okay, knock yourself out. You know, I'm not sure that you can replace the front bumper on the car, but you can go ahead and just do what you need to do there. Whatever it was, they would usually try to take on these tasks that they needed to be 15, 20 years old before they even had a shot at it. But they were eight. And so we would say, okay. And after they would get frustrated trying for a while, then they would finally look up and say, help me, Daddy. Help me, Mama. That's what God is waiting to hear from us. That is that moment of surrender and brokenness and weakness where we say to him, help me, Daddy. That's when he moves in and that's when he does his greatest stuff. I want to ask you this morning, you know, we may all act like we got our stuff together, but I know you don't. You don't. If you came and told me that, it wouldn't surprise me, I promise. I know there are marriages hurting right here in this room. I know there are financial needs. I know there are health needs. I know there are all sorts of things. And guess what? I don't have my stuff together either. What do you need that only God can provide? Where can only he be your daily bread? Are they? You have health concerns? Are you scared to death about your health? Do you need a marriage restored, resurrected, perhaps? You need freedom from addictions? Job uncertainty? Just generally relationships that are broken with people that you should be very, very close to, family members. Do you need to forgive? Do you just generally need peace in your life? You have financial insecurity, uncertainty. You know, this summer, just a month or so ago, me and some of the guys, we went to IHOP. Y'all heard me share a little bit about that, the International House of Prayer. We're not the restaurant. I've eaten there too, but this was the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri, and it's a place of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, constant prayer and worship, and it's just a place where you can go and you can just sit in the lap of God and you can just let him minister to your heart. And so we went up there and we spent a few days and it was awesome. And we were coming home, and we decided it had been about a month since the Joplin, Missouri tornado had ripped through that city, and it was really one of those deals where we could just reroute coming home and really not cost us any time. And so we thought, hey, let's drive through Joplin, let's see what has happened to that little town. And so we drove back through Joplin, and they had that tornado was on May the 22nd. Of this year, and we drove through the town, I'm going to show you a video in just a minute. We actually drove down this street that I'm going to show you the video. We didn't shoot this particular video, but this is the street we drove down. And I'm telling you, as we drove through that town, I didn't know what Joplin looked like before, but we all saw it was devastated. This little town was just devastated, and I ran across, as I was thinking about how so many times the trials that come in our life where we need God's provision, it's like a storm that's passing through. And I was telling somebody this week that sometimes you just have to batten down the hatches, find a safe room, and you just have to weather the storm, and you just have to, you know, hold on to something and let the storm pass, and then you can assess the damage, and you can begin to rebuild, and you can begin to heal and be restored. And so I was thinking about how that plays out in this scenario of how we need Jesus as our daily bread, and so I began to look for some video that might show this Joplin city, Joplin, Missouri. And I ran across this video where they're driving down this street, and someone, before the tornado hit, they had, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but they had just put a video camera basically on the dash of a car and just driven down this road. I don't know why they did it before the tornado. But then after the tornado, someone came and got a hold of that video and took the same video down the same street after the tornado. And they've stacked these two videos, and so you can see in real time what it used to look like and what it looks like today. And as we watch this, I want you to think about which one of these videos is your heart. Which one is you? I want you to personalize this. Go ahead, Lee, if you would show that. Which video is your heart? The lushness of the before, when everything's green and the trees are full and vibrant, or the barrenness of the after? I wanna tell you, go ahead and stop that, Lee. I wanna tell you this one simple thing. God is the God of resurrection. That town will be rebuilt. Those trees will come back. Many times the trees come back fuller and more vibrant than before. God is the God of resurrection. He is interested in the barrenness of your heart. He wants to be the provider of your daily bread. My question is, if you're like that bottom video, if that's your heart, have you asked God for that provision? Have you sought out Jesus Christ, the bread of life? Just in the asking, we confess our desperate need for God. And I want to tell you, He is the God of resurrection, and He is faithful, and He is merciful, and He will restore. If you would bow your head with me. If that's you, if you are the bottom segment of that video, if that barrenness is what you feel like inside, I invite you in your heart to say this prayer with me. If that's you, just repeat this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I need you. I need you to provide my daily bread. But more than that, Jesus, I need you to be my daily bread. I confess my brokenness before you. I confess my need for you. And I surrender myself to you. Jesus, I make a conscious decision to be weak so that your power will be made perfect in my life. I ask you to move in my life. I ask you to take over the areas of my life that are not under your authority. Give me courage to be weak before you. I surrender all to you, Jesus. Heal me in your strong and powerful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we stand, I want to invite you. The altar rail is open as we sing this closing song. We'll play it until the altar rail isn't open. And I also invite you, I will be here. If our prayer team that's available, would you make yourself available around the sides? And if you would like to pray with any of these folks, just go grab one of us. We would be happy to pray with you. If you would like to ask Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's always something I would be excited about talking to you about. So let's stand as we close.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. His presence daily made. I surrender.
Jesus implored us to pray, taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And he went on to say that he was the bread of life. Let him be your provider and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Shine your light and let the whole earth see. Sing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and